Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where the Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who are up to their ears in kneecaps, Chris and the Riz.
Hey, hi-de-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 346. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, and with me is the effervescent and always handsome co-host, Jeff the Riz. Listen, how you doing, brother?
It is good to be back with you, Chris. It's been too long.
It has.
It's been
too long. Oh, my God. We'll get into why. We'll talk about why.
Yeah.
There's a real reason. I mean, it wasn't like we were just being lazy, right?
No.
We're like that. All right. Yeah. Today's show, we'll talk about that. We were talking about filling up Ford Field. Lions plan a wide receiver. Could the first organizational cracks be showing there? We got an update on Fisher House. This is big. We got a couple things going on here. And I'll tell you right now, starting right now, we have a generous benefactor going to double all donations to Fisher House, Michigan. Go to givebutter.com/FHM/DLP to donate. All donations will be doubled up to $200 throughout the entirety of the show. So get in there and do that. Also, we're going to look at the Lions leadership philosophy. I've got something to talk to you guys about, and it's going to have a fun spin at the end. So you do not want to miss it. We got all that and a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up today. Riz, are you ready to go, brother?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
Let's get into it. Man, it feels good to get back in the saddle. A couple weeks off here, and it's like it's all new again. I kind of forget how to do all this.
Just find a monkey to push some buttons, and you're good.
Uh-oh, I'm that guy. All right. I really quick want to talk to everybody about just a quick apology for missing a week there. We missed 2 weeks. Last week's miss on the show was a planned week off.
Yes, it was.
We had two, and then Case filled in. For a week on that when we had one the first planned week. So we're only going to do one planned week off this summer. We felt really good about it. But some tragedy hit throughout Michigan, and it didn't leave Riz out of its wake there, did it?
It did not. So I was at the last time I did this show, I was on my way to Florida for my daughter. She played in the USAV Junior National Volleyball Championship. When we got home, we walked in our door, and as you walk in our garage door, if you look up, that's like where my wife and I in our kitchen, that's where we live. And you go down, that's where our living room and our kids' rooms are. And we look down the stairs, and our rug is floating in about 7 inches of water. Oh. It flooded. Oh. While we were gone, we got back on a Saturday. We know that it wasn't flooded on Thursday because the people who were watching our cats, their daughter went down and checked on stuff. So it's been a fun, interesting time dealing with insurance and dealing with contractors. And I've got to give a quick shout out to Service Master from Kalamazoo. They took wonderful care of us. They did a great job in taking care of things. Calvin, my guy, came out and his crews did a really good job for us. So if you ever need anything and you're in the West Michigan area, and again, I live in Holland. Kalamazoo isn't exactly close. They came up and they took care of us. They did a phenomenal job. They got us to where we're ready to start rebuilding now, and it's great. But it's been very stressful,
man. I'm to sorry say the to least. I am very sorry to hear that, and absolutely a shout out to Service Master. Hey, great job! Thanks for supporting the Riz and
yes,
being such good people, man.
Y'all know who you are. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get into the Lions stuff. We got a lot to talk about. Some people think it's the summer doldrums, but not for us. We missed 2 weeks. We've got a backlog.
Hey, we have plenty of things to talk about. I'm coming to you live from a hotel room in Augusta, Georgia.
What happened in that bed before the show there, Riz?
That's where the fun happens, ladies and gentlemen. That's where I sleep, hopefully.
All right, we'll start off Ford Field.
Way, they have Zaxby's here. I miss Zaxby's. Yeah. I used to live in the South. I don't live in the South anymore. I miss Southern food badly, and Zaxby's a good example of it.
Well, you look better for it, though. I mean, I am in the South, and you see what happens. All right. And God, I'm not going to give it. Okay, Ford Field, full capacity in 2021. This is expected, but I think it's big news that the announcement was finally made.
It is, and the NFL had said that they are not going to have any restrictions on their end. It's all up to the local municipalities. Michigan has opened up quite wide in the last month. I forget exactly when it happened. I think it was right towards the middle of June. It might have even been early June. But our government is not stopping people from attending anymore. There's no caps on attendance. There's no social distancing. It's obviously recommended. If you're not vaccinated, you are still supposed to wear a mask. I can tell you, I'm at an event right now, a sporting event. My son is playing in the Peach Jam here in Augusta. That's why I'm here. Go Beats Fundamentals 15U. The tall white kid's mine. if you're streaming along at home, and they are very vigilant about masking and trying to keep as much social. This is run by Nike, and it's a very well run tournament, and they like. I would guess that over half the people that are in the building with us are wearing masks. So you are still getting some of that. And again, I'm in the South here where it's obviously a little bit different, both politically and culturally. And that's, it doesn't seem to be a big deal. I have not worn a mask. I'm vaccinated, but I don't have a problem wearing one if I'm asked to. And there are people that are in our traveling party who are vaccinated and who are wearing masks out of respect to those who are not. Yeah. That's your choice. And I think that's the way to go with it. And that's why Michigan, that's one of the reasons why it's so great that we're allowed to do this and get into the stadium again. I can tell you, just watching my son play basketball, watching my daughter play volleyball, being around other people, and watching, having them collectively watching sports and participating together. God, I missed it, man. I didn't realize how much I missed that energy and just the camaraderie and the reacting to someone other than somebody who lives in your house with you. It's different. It's special. And I missed it. And I'm glad that it's back. And I hope that everybody that wants to get to a game can get to a game because it's going to be a blast. I think it's going to go crazy, especially the first home game. You got all the new energy with Dan Campbell as your coach, and they're going to come out on the field, and you haven't seen him in a long time. I want to be a part of that, man. I'm so happy that we get to experience that again.
Yeah, 110%. Those who follow on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, you'll notice I was in Detroit last week. We would have done a podcast, but I was doing so much work for the family, getting stuff ready. But there's the thing. I noticed a huge difference. Detroit is an anomaly right now, the Detroit area. And you guys on Twitter know it. And I asked about it, and it wasn't meant as a political thing, and it went political crazy, so I just kind of let it.
Yeah, sit, that happens.
Swallow people. But Detroit is very, very different. My hotel, one night we didn't, they did the rooms, service the room. We didn't have towels. So we had to call down, and after 6 o'clock, there was only one guy working at the whole hotel. He's like, "Oh, we're out of towels." And it's like, well, what do you expect us to do? Right. And he's like, let me go. And he scavenged towels from an empty room to get us towels. Right.
Wow.
And it's like, we don't have help. It's really, we can't get stuff done. And it was like they were out of coffee. They didn't have coffee like for 3 days that we were there. And I was doing surgery on the decaf filters and pouring Dunkin' Donuts coffee into it just to get like some caffeine, ready for the morning. Went to one restaurant. It was it's a nice place, Rockies. Had reservations, so we were seated. The tables were all distanced and all that, and it's fine. I'm totally down with whatever people feel is right. It's their business. It's and within the laws and all that. I'm not against it. I wear a mask when I have to. All that kind of stuff. But they didn't have help. And there's a lady. I mean, it took like an hour from order to our food arrived. Right. And I was like, wow, that's kind of long.
Oh,
and yeah. There's a lady at the table behind us had been drinking. It was there with a cougar night or whatever. And she's like, I'll go back there and cook. I can cook pretty good, right? And the waitress took her super serious and was like. and the waitress was like, yeah, we need dishwashers, we need cooks, we need hostesses, we need waitresses. And the waitress that we had, she was like 9.5 months pregnant, right? She was full blown ready to go, and she's working on. I was like, this is crazy, right? This is nuts. And it was the same way. We were gonna go to one of our favorite Mexican restaurants, but it was like an hour and a half wait. They said when we called, so we're like, we'll just go to On the Border. Still get Mexican. It's chain, but at least it's a decent chain, right?
Tex-Mex chain, baby.
Yeah, show up, 50% empty. The restaurants, we roll in, we're like, oh sweet, we're gonna table. Nope, 60-minute wait. Like what? They're like, we had four people call in, we can't get help. And I asked the waitress, I'm like, what's going on? She's like, we just can't get anybody. It's like, So yeah. I get it. Like, the rules are national, right? And they're everywhere. Yeah. I don't want to make them, you know, make this political or anything. But it is different in the Detroit area. That I have a friend who lives in Pennsylvania, or a colleague, and he was just down in the Atlanta area, had no experience like any of that, right, in his travels. I you know, here in Tampa,
I'll tell you,
there's help wanted signs everywhere, right? But I was at Buffalo Wild Wings last night, and it was full, and there was no wait, and there was no service delay, there was nothing. It's different. There's something different. I don't understand why.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'll tell you. I drove here. I drove from Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti. When did I leave? I don't even know what day of the week it is, so I won't tell you on that. I drove here straight through. From there to Augusta, Georgia. I went through. I stopped outside of Knoxville, Tennessee, at a very shady Waffle House, but they were full staffed. It was full inside. I've been out to eat several times here in the Augusta and North Augusta area, and also up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And everything's like, I wouldn't say they're at full go, but it's like 90% maybe. It's not.
And there's help wanted signs, right? You can tell there's a need for help. And that sector, and you know, the whole wage, like I said, all that political stuff I want to put aside, but it's drastically different in
it
the
is.
Detroit
it's,
area.
It's different. It's different in West Michigan, where I live, in the Holland Zealand area, where there's definitely still shortages, but it is exacerbated. I spent most of last week in the Canton area, and it's different, man. It really is. And I don't think that unless you've experienced the other. You don't realize how different it is. So it's a good point by you.
This goes to the Kelly Stafford point I made earlier. And I think that it was, you know, because I don't think she's the greatest articulator of ideas, right? She's a fine person and all that. And
that's a very diplomatic way to say that, Chris.
When she said the whole thing about, I think she called Whitmer Hitler or Nazi or something. I mean, it was something in that vein, right? I don't remember what it was, right? Or dictator. That's what it was, right? It was a dictator.
Yes.
Thing. I think what she had is, they have a house in Georgia. They have a house in L.A. They were probably in Georgia and kind of felt the Southern openness that was going on at the time, and then went to Michigan and saw, holy cow. Because it was, for me, right, I was going to the restaurant picking up food. They were in Michigan. I went and visited Michigan. I was like, what? You're only doing carryout? They're like putting it out on the end of a 15-foot pole, right? Carryout, whatever. I was like, this is way different. And I think that's what she was trying to articulate, is how different it was, right? Again,
it's
a
very
political
different
thing, but the traveling, people talk about that for years, travel the world and you'll see different cultures and you'll open up and learn and grow so much more. I think within the United States right now, you can travel around and get a lot of that exact same kind of experience, because regionally and from a state to state basis, things are way, way different.
Yeah, it's different. And the fact that we can all get together and unify for a Lions game and training camp, which we're going to talk about,
can't wait,
is a great experience. And I know, and Chris, you know this about me. I don't actually like going to NFL games. I much prefer, because I'm working, but it's just a lot easier for me to be at home. I'm more in control there. I have a thing about using public toilets, so I'm good with that. You know, my kids can get stuff for me if I need something. You know, I just like being home for it. I'm itching to go, man. I'm hopeful to go to some college football games again this year, because I really miss that as well. It does sound like most colleges are going to allow it. They actually haven't responded to credential requests yet, so maybe they're still figuring that out.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I can't wait to get back to a live sporting event that's bigger than. I mean, I've been at two of them, but like a mass gathering.
Yeah.
Man. Where you know, you're with 25,000 people. I want to go see a concert where there's, you know, 15,000 people packed into Van Andel Arena.
Yeah.
I can't wait for this stuff to come back. And this is a great sign. It's very good for my personal mental well-being. I know it is for a lot of other people too, just because we're social creatures. We need it.
As much as I hate people, I can't wait to see them. Can't wait to see them. Really quick, thank you, Justin, for the super chat. We will talk about wide receivers here in a little bit.
Yeah, we are. Definitely.
I think this is really something. For those that are going to games or planning to hit some of these games this year, I will be in L.A. I got the final approval on Vegas the week before. I'm going to bounce from Vegas to L.A. to SoFi. I'll be there with Sandman. Anyway, I don't have a place to stay or anything yet. I have to figure all that out. I don't have a ticket yet. I have to figure all that out. But anyone who wants to get together or whatever, or tailgate or all that kind of stuff, let's try to put something together. We'd love to hang out with some of our West Coasters and even some of our Detroit fans who head out there. would be a great time. I know Sandman will be there. He'll have a couple buddies with him. So definitely let's get together. But Ford Field at full capacity in 2021. Sports are going to be back, baby. And I really just can't wait to kick this into gear like Conor McGregor. All right, let's get on to the next thing.
he won't be kicking anything for a little while.
Pede Sewell. I saw this on this website. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's lionswire.usatoday.com. Pede Sewell chosen as the Lions' most likely first-time Pro Bowler. And I think that's what you want out of your first overall pick, especially if you're picking as high in the draft as we did.
It is, and the fact that it's a rookie is great, but the flip side of it is, who else on the Lions has made a Pro Bowl? Who else is worthy of going to a Pro Bowl? That was the emphasis that I tried to write in writing that, and I actually wound up, I'm like, God, who has been to a Pro Bowl? You know, who's deserving of it?
Was and, Ragnow made one, right?
Yeah, Ragnow made the last one. All right. See if you can find some of these other ones here.
I like Stafford, Slay.
They had two last year.
Hawkinson.
They had three. You're right. TJ did make it.
I cheated because Robbins put it in the chat.
All right.
I don't know.
Jack Fox made it.
Of course.
The punter that I was completely remember last year how stressed I was about the punting?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, that was my bad. I was wrong. Thank you, Jack Fox, for proving me wrong. Well,
I'm hoping we feel the same thing when we talk about a different position group later here in this show, but I don't know that you
I
are.
don't sense any Pro Bowlers coming from there, but yeah. Like what are the Lions have made Pro Bowls? I believe Jamie Collins made one. Yeah. And that might be it. I actually did do the research when I wrote the article, but I am so disheveled that I can't even hardly. I literally do not know what day of the week it is. I think it's Wednesday, but it might not be.
It's Wednesday, my friend. Welcome.
Okay, it is Wednesday. That's good.
It's hump day. That's why your bed looks like that.
I'm glad they. They're glad they took the dead hooker.
Riz is going to every good day. Service at the candle in my world. Oh man. Yeah, no. So Sewell. I hope he lives up to the expectations. He's done everything so far. Yeah. I mean, he's done everything right since he stepped out in that draft.
For us. He's a really easy guy to root for. And one of the things that we had to write yesterday was about if you're a Sewell fan, not necessarily a Lions fan, but a Sewell fan. He is selling a bunch of his Oregon game-worn stuff, helmets, pants, shirts. And you know with Oregon, they never wear the same jersey twice because they just don't do that.
Yep.
So there's a lot of stuff available. If you check out his Twitter page or Lions Wire, you can go through it via there. And he's selling it off, and that's a pretty cool opportunity to get some. I mean, I am not a fan of the Oregon Ducks uniforms and their uniform roulette. I like the simple and the clean, like Penn State, same uniforms forever. Notre Dame, mostly the same uniforms forever. I love that. I mean, I don't really like either of those schools. I don't like where I have to figure out what team I'm watching because I can't remember what they were last week.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Pede Sewell, we'll see how he goes. High hopes for him this year. Most likely first-time Pro Bowler.
Most likely. So who else do you think on this team has a legitimate shot as a Pro Bowler?
I think Hawk
this coming season.
I think Hawk has a shot at it. I think Fox has a shot at it. So we'll start. We'll go there.
I agree.
We'll have the repeats.
Ragnow should be there. Yeah. And I love seeing the national acclaim that Frank Ragnow is getting. Number one center in that was ESPN's polling. Yeah. Top 10 or top 4, I think, in Pro Football Focus in their interior alignment thing. It's great to see him get the recognition. He deserves it because he is that good. And I love it.
Speaking of ESPN, can I give them, you know, I gave them several shots in the nuts when they deserved it for the coverage they had. They have upgraded their Lions coverage. It's Woodyard, right? Is the guy that's in there?
Yes, Eric Woodyard.
Wow.
He's great.
What?
He is great.
Upgrade. Thank you, ESPN, for giving an F about Detroit and putting somebody.
They put a Detroiter in there, and I tell you what, I've had conversations with him about the Pistons too, and this guy gets Detroit. And I have an appreciation for that. He's a very talented writer too.
Yep.
And I
absolutely
am very happy to work alongside him.
And I'll tell you, just so you know, we're more than happy to call out, you know, failures and bad jobs and that kind of thing. Great job, Eric. Great stuff, man. You definitely turned that ship around as far as beat writing for ESPN on the Lions side, man. Great work. Appreciate what you're doing, 100%. All right. With that, Loretto, Super Chat, thank you, sir. When do you think we'll stop talking about the Pro Bowl like it's a measurement of something when it's a measurement of nothing? No stats involved, just a measurement of popularity. Definitely a lagging indicator on skill.
I will tell you, the players do care about it very much, and it's incentivized in their contracts. So until that stops, it's going to continue to be that way.
And
the players definitely care about it. Well, they don't want to play in the game. They don't want to get on the Pro Bowl team. And the general managers like it because, oh, hey, look, I drafted a Pro Bowler. I picked up that Pro Bowler. It gets thrown around as a status symbol more than you might think inside the business.
I would love to see the Pro Bowl to turn into something that's interesting to watch. And I don't know if it's a football game.
I haven't watched it in decades.
Yeah,
I don't like any. Apparently, the baseball All-Star game was sometime this week. I was only mildly aware of it because I was at a bar.
It's 2 hours up the road.
I think it was on.
It's 2 hours up the road, and I won't go to the Pro Bowl. Come on.
I truly don't care. All pros absolutely matter because that's more prestigiously voted upon.
Yep.
But, yeah.
All right. Before we get into the next one, I want to talk really quick. You guys, there's some legislation that's going through. You may lose your chance at the Delta 8 in Michigan. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go stock up. Lions coupon code gives you 55% off. Go
get yourself going right now.
Some of the great stuff from our friends at Diamond CBD, who are actually going to help sponsor and give away some stuff at the party that we'll be talking about later. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Stock up before the government gets in and steals your rights and makes you use regular cannabis. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Pain, anxiety, and insomnia are well taken care of. And then the Delta 8 stuff plants you in your seat. Nice way to take care of all those things. And then they have the regular, I mean, I've got right here a partially used bottle. I kept the box just so I could show it off of the non-Delta 8 CBD oil. This stuff is 3,500 milligram. This stuff's really good. One little dropper squeeze and some pains of being me just kind of melt away. So there you go. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Somebody who probably should have done that, Richard Sherman, he probably would be out of jail today had he gone to CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. He's in trouble with the law, and
can we talk about that for a second?
That trouble includes a domestic violence charge. What in the world, Richard Sherman? I didn't expect it from you, but I think let's talk about it. The one thing I want to say, though, and this is something, a study was a couple years ago. There's a perception that NFL players have a higher rate of interventions with the law, drug use and domestic violence and all, and those kinds of interventions are with the law. That's actually untrue. It's actually lower than the standard population rate in the United States. It's just much more popularized, and it's much more out there for people to see.
Well, so, we hear more about it, and the ones like Frank Clark, who's going to prison for a long time, hopefully, if what he did is in fact true, and I believe that it's true, knowing what he did in Sandusky, Ohio, several years ago when he was still at Michigan, that got him thrown out of Michigan. And I know that that was true. And I know the details from that because my cousin was a prosecuting attorney. And he is not a good person. He deserves every bad thing that can happen to him about that. But those get the big publicity. And you don't necessarily hear about that if it's like, you know, Bob Cobert down the street from you. You know, you just making up names there.
Oh, okay. No offense, Bob.
Yeah. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah, but mow your lawn. That's for real. I mean, so you don't. And there's, you know, driving under the influence happens all the time, unfortunately.
I saw two of them last night.
Wow.
Man. Yeah.
All right. So there we go. So let's talk about the story here. Here's what we got. I got this from the Houston Chronicle recently here. The story goes, Richard Sherman was out. Well, and so this is all alleged. Let me make sure I get this right.
Yes.
Allegedly, Richard Sherman was out driving around, went to a construction zone that was under construction at the time. People were working there. Hit some barriers, mashed up the driver's side of his car so bad that the vehicle was disabled a little ways down the road. Crazy, right? So then the car's there. They got the call. The cops go. Car's abandoned. They just find it disabled down the road. Then about 45 minutes, an hour later, I think it was, there's a call to the police. It winds up being Sherman's in-law's house, and Richard Sherman's trying to break in. Okay. Police come. I see that the police officer was talking to him, said, hey, I valeted your car when I was growing up in Seattle police, right? He was like, he was talking him down, having a good conversation with him up until the point they said, oh, by the way, Richard, you're under arrest. And then he started leaving and didn't want any part of that. And they, what was the phrase they said?
So this is the greatest euphemism ever. I'm reading this from a tweet. Situation turned when Sherman was told he was under arrest, and that is when altercation took place that ultimately led to K-9 unit deployment to, quote-unquote, assist in gaining compliance. What a euphemism for release the hounds.
Oh, man. And so after they released the hounds, he was taken to a hospital, treated for injuries on his leg, and then booked, and he's in jail until Wednesday or Thursday when he's...
Oh, my gosh.
So here's I'm going to take what I heard and try to put it to what I think happened. Right.
All right. Please do. Because Richard Sherman is probably the most intelligent person in the NFL. He's a legit, like, brilliant. I don't know if he can match your son on the SAT, but he probably came pretty close to it.
Okay, I'll talk about that. Richard. So here's what probably happened. Again, this is all alleged. We don't have any data, but this is pure speculation, because as we were wont to do here, Richard probably went out and got tanked. Went out partying, whatever, as people do. He has every right to do
it. It happens.
We're going to do that at our party that we're going to talk about here shortly. Went out, had a good time, and then decided to drive. Mistake number one. Right? And this whole thing
never
comes after this.
Don't do it.
Is a great tale, cautionary tale, as to why you don't drive drunk. He went out. He probably made a mistake, wasn't paying attention, was on his phone, doing something other than paying attention to it. But he could have been that tanked based on later events. Hit some stuff in a construction zone where people were working. So he literally could have killed somebody.
That's not cool at all.
And it was bad enough that his car broke down. I will hypothesize that he left his car, got a little scared at that point, right? Knowing, oh, shite, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
I can't drive this thing home and hide it. I gotta get out of here. Left. Maybe the in-laws, seems like the in-laws were relatively close, went to their house, was going to hide out there, maybe get a ride, maybe call for a ride. It was locked, so he tried to break in, because we make decisions like this when we're drunk. Woke up his in-laws. They had no idea what was happening. They just saw that somebody was trying to break in the house. Next thing you know, it's Richard out front getting mauled by a German Shepherd. Now, the reason I say that is because
his wife
afterward is totally diffusing this, saying, oh, no, nobody was hurt. I want to make sure everyone knows nobody was hurt. The whole thing is kind of backing this whole thing down. I just have a feeling Richard got drunk and continued to double down on bad decisions. I really think that that's what happened, and that's what got him there. And the whole thing started with that bad first decision of going out and driving after he was drinking. Please, folks, don't do that. Please
don't do it. Don't do it.
So there's no need. What do you think? How it sounds plausible, right? I mean,
Absolutely. I'm picturing the Law and Order recreation of it right now, where, you know, Ice-T comes in and, you know, make sure that the dog gets the good bite in.
Yeah.
I miss watching Law and Order. I used to watch that like every day. Like, really? It was so good. Yeah. So really Richard Sherman, by the way, probably won't be facing the Lions this year. He is a free agent now. He's not on the team. This probably doesn't help him get on another team.
Wasn't there talk about possibly signing him on the Lions? Did we just miss something?
I'll say this about Richard Sherman. He is not the type of person who would come to Detroit and embrace the culture that has been here. Now, maybe he wants to be part of the new culture. I kind of think he's at the point in his career where he's more of a ring whore. And you don't go to Detroit right now to be a ring whore.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we'll go on from
there. And then that's not a bad decision on his part, by the way.
No. Although I feel like his personality would fit well with this team. I mean,
him as a veteran mentor for Rokuda would be nice, man.
And the transition from player to coach, to see that kind of change and happen to even like an assistant low-level coach to get him his first experience in the coaching role, I just think that's something that would be really interesting and that this organization might try. You know what I mean? To take a guy like him, have him play a year as a mentor, and then roll him into some kind of role on the sideline to work with players. That's not a player role. That's more of a coach's role. That, I think that would be interesting. And then that's where he could ring whore as a staff member rather than a player. But
yeah, I'll say this. I also think he has a future if he ever wants to be the NFLPA president.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Really quick, Loretto, thank you so much for that super chat, brother. He said he's tired of the Goff hate. It's created a real division of fans, and the narrative that Matthew Stafford is a top quarterback now that he's not in Detroit is really annoying. Our Lions fans are going to move on to what we are now.
So this is something I went on a competing podcast last week. I went on Locked On Lions with Matt Derry, and that was our lead topic. And I said to him afterwards, I'm like, I know you're getting traction out of this, but aren't we a little tired of it? And he was at that point. And I think he actually, I saw a Twitter, and actually it might have been yesterday, might have been this morning, where he's like, yeah, I'm sick of this too.
He's the same guy that loved the old ESPN guy too.
It's look, Stafford is a shiny new toy for the Los Angeles media. And they clearly sided in the Goff McVay breakup with McVay. That's just the way it is.
You know, still there.
The Rams are they're an in vogue team. They're a hot, they're a trendy pick. Detroit's not that right now. It's just not. I'm tired of the Goff hate as well, although I will continue to spew. I don't think he's good. I don't think he's going to be good enough, but I'm willing to let it at least play out. I'm not going to cast that stone at him right now. And I hope that he proves me wrong, but we're not as good at quarterback as what we used to be, is the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
And I think many Lions, we've talked about this before, Chris, many Lions fans don't remember what it's like to not have a quarterback, to have quarterback uncertainty. It is all the oxygen in the room all the time, especially once the season ends. I can tell you this from covering the Texans before they got Deshaun. I can tell you this from covering the Browns for a long time. I can tell you this from being in Indianapolis for a while when they transitioned from Peyton Manning to Curtis Painter that 1 year. If you don't have the quarterback, nothing else matters ever. And the Rams are like, well, we thought we had the quarterback and then we didn't. And now we've solved it with the best quarterback we could have possibly gotten. And they're right. He was the best quarterback they could have gotten this offseason.
And now let's just remind folks, though, that Jared Goff was likely the best quarterback the Lions could have gotten this offseason as well. And Matthew, yes, wasn't like we traded him away. Matthew Stafford stated before we even had a GM and a coach here that he wanted to leave and he wasn't going to play here. So I hate that. I've seen people already try to play that. We traded away. That's not what happened. He demanded to go.
The Lions did him a solid by agreeing to trade him.
Yeah.
They could have made him play it out. They didn't do that. And I give Sheila and Rod Wood, I give them some credit for that because they have learned from the acrimonious endings of so many other great Lions. And Matt Stafford is a great Lion. Look in the record book. Yep. You don't have to look very far to find his name a lot. They did it right this time. And I don't see how you can yell at the Lions for what happened with Calvin and what happened with Barry at the end of their careers and then be like, how can you trade Stafford? How do you put pants on? You know, I don't get that.
Both legs at once. I think one of the things that, and I'm going to talk about this a little more and a little depth on the when we talk about the wide receiver piece. But I think one of the big things here, Matthew Stafford hasn't played a full healthy year since 2017. Am I right, Riz?
He had the back. He had the So 19, he missed games. 18, he was hurt but played. And then last year he had he missed what, 2, 3? I don't remember.
So here's, and I love Matthew Stafford. So folks, keep your hate mail to yourself. I love him to death. I wish he was still here. I prefer him over Jared Goff in the team. I'll just straight up say that.
Yes.
But I don't know how much they're going to get out of him. I don't know if they're going to get 17 games out of Matthew Stafford this year, especially judging with their offensive line, the quality of what they have there. I don't know that Matthew Stafford can move like he did before even to keep himself free if another year going. Matthew Stafford, in his historical context, looks like he could elevate this Rams team a great deal. By the same token, it's another year hung on him. I'm not sure how much he has in him. Is he going to be great when he plays? 100%. He is going to be an absolute star there. Will they get 17 games of stardom? I don't know. He hasn't done it since 2017, and he's had better lines than they have in L.A. Love, yes, Matthew. I just don't know that he's going to be the answer for the long term of this year. 17 games long term. I don't know that he's going to be the answer in Los Angeles. Conversely, Jared Goff, let's go into the wide receiver thing now. I'm just going to flip a couple.
Okay, let's do it. Let's tackle the wide receivers who were easily tackled.
The Lions' plan at wide receiver in 2021 could be their biggest downfall, was an article by a guy named Jeff Hefe.
I wrote that one in a fit of fatigued anger.
And this is the thing that really activates my almonds, okay? Because they are failing Jared Goff here with this. And we'll get into the details of this. This is...
You read my piece, Chris. Thank you.
They specifically said, Jared Goff is our guy. We care about him. He's going to be our one long-term, blah, 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 blah. And they don't have weapons for him. They don't. That's the place. That and safety are the two places that they didn't take action on this team. They took action in places where they needed to. They were absolutely important, right? I get it. Long-term strategy, sure. The problem is could this be where the cracks in this new front office, this new organizational structure, the first cracks show themselves? Is this where, because Jared Goff not being able to perform because he doesn't have receivers is all going to land on Jared Goff. There's going to be more blame on Goff than on the receivers that aren't there to catch the ball for him. Now, let's say conversely. I think we should also be very fair. If they perform, if this wide receiver corps performs even at 15 or above in the NFL, Jared Goff should be lauded as a massive hero in this town because he elevated a group of people that are 32 at best, right? 100% across the board. If this team can perform at 15th at the wide receiver position, it's because of Jared Goff. So don't forget about that part.
Yes.
But I think this could be a very serious place of risk for this front office and organization.
Yeah, I'm worried about it. And you brought it up. If they're trying to make an evaluation on Jared Goff, and let's say that they are, we all know he's going to start in 2021. We all probably have a pretty good idea whether we like it or not. He's going to be the quarterback in 2022 as well.
Yeah. Even if we draft somebody.
Yeah, and it's... You want to set him up for success if he's your guy. And it's clear, like you said, Brad Holmes, he definitely wanted Jared Goff. I mean, he wanted Goff. He's made that very clear. He wants Goff to be the answer. He's made that very clear. Getting the receiving core that they have is that doesn't help reinforce him. So what could happen off that? Let's say they don't have a good year and Goff isn't good. Do they come back then with the excuse, well, our receivers weren't good enough, we have to give him another year? So then in 2022, they draft, you know, they'll draft a wide receiver in the first or second round, and they'll sign a prime ticket free agent or two and overhaul it again. Well, now he doesn't have any chemistry issues with this. Now he needs another year to see if we can get, you know, because it's a different office, different guys. You know, he doesn't have any chemistry with these people. He doesn't have the experience with it. You know, the people were in and out of the lineup. I can see that being an issue long term. The constant, you know, making excuses for Goff because they want him to work. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I can absolutely see that happening because it's happened. If you want to see where it's happened, look at the New York Jets. If you want to see where it's happened, look at the Washington football team. That's why they got rid of Kirk Cousins, aside from the financial issues and Kirk, you know, being smarter than they are. That kind of thing happens all the time, and it paralyzes organizations because you're always wondering if you can get more out of the quarterback.
Yep.
I applaud the New York Jets for what they did. They realized that, you know what? Yeah, our wide receiving core, left. They had the worst receiving core in the league last year, and Sam Darnold paid the price for it. To their credit, they cut bait on that. Now they drafted Zach Wilson to do it. I think Zach Wilson is worse than Mitch Trubisky coming out, so I don't think that they've solved their problem, but at least they've made a move in that direction.
Yep.
And again, if you don't have the quarterback, nothing else freaking matters. And I'm worried that this is going to lead us to a point where Jared Goff is lower end, you know, average to below average starter, but just good enough to keep the job. And like, oh, I see why, because they're always going to have that excuse. The receiving isn't there.
Yep.
You can't blame the line. This is the best line the Lions have ever had.
Yep.
Certainly, at least back to when Lomas Brown was in his payday. But yeah, there's a lot of ripple effect worries out of this that scare the crap out of me as a Lions fan. And it doesn't mean that they needed to draft Devontae Smith or Jaylen Waddle with the first round. And I do think that Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be a good player. I really do.
Yeah.
But when you are going and you're going to trot out your number one wide receiver as Tyrell Williams, he didn't play last year. He's never been more than a three. He was a very good one. And he has experience with the offensive coordinator in Anthony Lynn, who was his coach in Los Angeles with the Chargers. But you're asking a guy to be two spots higher on the depth chart than he's ever been before, and he didn't play football last year.
But let's talk about something with the team, in that our number one receiver is going to be T.J. Hockenson. It's kind of a Kittle situation, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that will happen. So, I think.
But that doesn't mean that the outside corner, their number one corner, is going to be covering T.J. Hockenson, right? So that guy is still out there to cover your wide receivers. DeAndre Swift. I have a feeling he's going to be a big receiving target this year. He's going to be a solid receiver. I think we're attacking different parts of the defense. And, I mean, let's put it this way. If you have two, I'm just making something up here. Okay. If you have Hockenson and Kelsey, and I'll just use Swift because he's here, as your three top points of attack, you know, most teams have killer cornerback one and cornerback two, and a pretty decent cornerback two. You're taking those players completely out of the mix. You're taking some of their best defensive players out of the mix as far as defending the pass, right? It's a different kind of attack. I don't know that I'm going to buy in as the most successful way to build an offense in the NFL, but we have to think about things differently as to exactly how this team is going to work. And what this offense is going to look like, and how they're going to try to exploit defenses. We're trying to put our strengths against their weaknesses in kind of the middle of the field, right? And we're not, you know, Tyrell, as much as excited as he is, we are about his speed. Maybe we just have their number one cornerback running laps basically every game, right? And with him and Perriman, maybe, because they got to cover him. And you need, if they're that fast, you need a guy that's good enough
to cover. Might have to cover Perriman.
Well, maybe. Right? All he has to do is catch one a game, and then they have to cover him, right?
Yeah, it's the whole Will Fuller theory. You know, Will Fuller couldn't catch a cold when he came out of Notre Dame, but I saw it firsthand in Texans training camp. When he runs down the field, it's beautiful to watch a natural athlete like that just blaze the trail. But it does impact the dynamics of the defense. You have to have somebody that can turn and run with him. You have to have safety help over the top. You have to, because there is the off chance that he is going to catch it. It might only be once a game, but one catch for 69 yards and a touchdown, that's pretty damn nice.
They have to cover him. They have to respect him at that point, right?
They do.
So, look, I'm looking at this. I'm putting on the rose-colored glasses here, right? I'm not telling you what to expect. What I'm telling you in far as what to expect is, this offense is going to attack things differently than the Lions are used to. Lions fans are used to for the last decade. Okay, it's going.
We don't have the rocket launcher at quarterback anymore.
Right. So I think we just have to kind of sit and watch this. We also have to walk into this year knowing that this is not going to be a win the division year for the Detroit Lions. I think this is a year where they show that they're a competent front office, competent coaching staff. And they've kind of stopped the bleeding and set the tone for this team to take the next step next year and start to build themselves a real contender. I just, at this point, if we have good, entertaining football, if we're in the games, right, I'm happy. That's really what I want out of this team. I was so disgusted with this team last year. That if we could get just those things,
there was just negative energy, man. I'm tired of the negative energy from the team itself.
Yeah.
We get enough of that from the fans. If you want to see that, check my Twitter replies to something that I wrote like this. There was just no life, man. There's light at the end of the tunnel now.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I don't think, and we've talked about this before, the national media doesn't understand how dark it was in Detroit with Patricia.
Yeah.
They really don't. And I think they think that it's oversold. And I would think, if anything, we've undersold it.
Yeah.
Because, and you and I are somewhat complicit in this, because we did want it to work.
Oh.
We did see things that we liked about Matt Patricia, but God dang it, it did not work.
No.
It was worse than we could have ever imagined.
And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Just keep the idea of purpose-driven organization in your mind. And that's, I think, what you're going to see they're building here, what they're doing. And we'll talk about the difference between what we have now, Matt Patricia, and
we have hope.
Yeah. I have some really good references here as to on this information. Yeah. So we'll talk about that shortly. I do want to get into really quick something big that's coming up, and it's a yearly thing. We didn't get to do it last year. I'm so excited that we're getting back to this. It is the Detroit Lions Podcast Training Camp Party. Yes. We have July 31st as the date, the first day of training camp. That evening from 6 until 10:30, but that 10:30 is a soft stop. We usually close.
That's fungible.
Yeah. we have the Detroit Lions Podcast Training Camp Party. It's, I think, the fourth annual or fifth annual training camp.
We have done four, right?
Yeah, four or five, yeah.
I
think this is either way.
Yeah, I really don't know what day of the week it is, so you're asking the wrong guy.
All you got to do is go to party.detroitlionspodcast.com and you'll see it. You get your tickets there. Look, this is not a fundraiser. This is a listener appreciation thing. This literally costs me money in the end by the time this is all said and done. And that's not even counting
the travel cost. I can vouch for that. I've seen the bills.
We're just covering the cost. You show up, party.detroitlionspodcast.com. Get yourself a ticket. We will have dinner for you. We have all kinds of pizza. We have all the soft drink, bread, what are the rolls?
We're back at the same location that we have been.
Yep, Uptown Grill in Commerce.
Uptown Grill, Commerce Township. That's it. Yep.
All the soft drinks you can drink. I mean, at bar cost beer is extra. That's on you. But it is a heck of a party. Special guests. This is we had Dean Blandino last time, right?
We did.
We've got a returning guest in Dan Miller going to be there this time. Going to do a live broadcast with us from Uptown Grill. We will do a live podcast as we do. And it will be video live streamed here as well for those that can't make it.
Yes, it will.
Dan Miller will be there. And we are 98.36% sure Justin Rogers will also be joining us at the Uptown Grill for that party. We may have a few more people to announce as well.
We are working some things to try to get some more people there. It will be fun.
My ultimate goal is to have Jelani Tavai there reading mean tweets that I tweeted. That's really, really my goal.
You know, he is that kind of guy. He would do it,
and he
would enjoy it. Yeah. I think the fans would enjoy that too. I think our friends who are going to join us there would enjoy that.
Yeah,
it's great. Dan was at the first one in an unofficial capacity. We did that one at a drafting table out in Wixom, and we invited him. We didn't think he'd show up, and he came out and just sat and chilled, and you know. People were coming up and just asking him questions. He signed autographs for a couple of people. They were at the bar just randomly. So Dan has been a wonderful friend of the show, and it's great to have him back. He is the master interviewer. So if you have anybody else there, he is certainly going to handle the interviewing tasks over you and I
because
Dan freaking Miller.
Yeah, we have a Q&A, an audience Q&A, questions you can answer. You can ask Dan anything you want about the team, about Dan, about anything else. He will be there to do that. Yeah.
And Dan is a candid dude. He does not. He will tell you what he thinks.
Yeah. Yes, that he will. I'm going to look for something really quick as we talk here. But so Dan Miller, Justin Rogers, all you can eat pizza, all you can drink salads too and breadsticks, all you can drink soft drinks. You got to cover the bar. It's a great party. It's $30 a ticket to cover all the costs. It's inflation, whatever. I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
The price is the same. Our price
it's good food. Like we enjoy it. Like they had... one of their pizzas, they had like a margarita pizza that was pretty darn good. They had like a chicken Alfredo pizza that they brought out for us.
Yep.
That was good. Yeah.
Oh, man. That was really good.
Good stuff.
That was really
I'm hungry now.
Yeah. So we got that going on. It's great. It's a great time. Join us. Party.detroitlionspodcast.com. Get in there. Get your tickets. There are a limited number of tickets. We'll all be there. There's door prizes. We're going to have CBD products. We're looking right now. We're working with, I want to say, the guys at Pro Sports Zone. We're trying to get some stuff from them as well to get some great great giveaways You know, they have the ultimate and autographed stuff there for folks and great memorabilia. So we're working for that with them to kind of get stuff. Fanatics gift cards, we'll have those. Detroit Lions podcast merchandise, you know, the t-shirts and so on. We got a pretty sweet merchandise store. We'll let you choose your style and what you want, all that. And we're working on some more stuff as well. Party.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get yourself in there. Come join us at the Uptown Grill in Commerce Township from 6 to close on July 31st. And have a grand time with us. You guys will absolutely love it. I promise you. I promise.
Yes. It's always a great time. And after party TBD.
Yes. Oh God.
Right, Malcolm?
Yeah, okay, right, Malcolm. Yeah, I found it. Here's Dan Miller being completely candid, telling a story with Dean Blandino there last.
I'll tell you a story. So the Seattle game happens, okay? The batting out of the end zone and stuff like that. So we're on the bus going to the plane, and I get a call from like NFL Network or somebody who's saying, can you come on the radio show? And I'm like, I really can't. I'm going to be on the bus with players and stuff like that. Probably wouldn't be a good idea. But if you fire fucking Dean Blandino, I'll come on the show with you. And then I said, I'll talk to you later.
So Dan Miller being very, very candid at the party. We have a good time. Yeah. And you can tell, right? That was good quality audio. Yeah. Right?
Dean was great. Oh, Dean was so like, because he knows Detroit people hate it by and large. And He's in on the joke, folks. He's a good dude. He really is.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Also, I just want to say we have the doubling going on for donations to Fisher House. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Raising money. It's basically a Ronald McDonald's House for veterans and people in the military, yes, for the VA. Take care of families while people are getting procedures done. Got a great message from a vet in Iraq who said the show helped him get through some pretty dark times. And it wound up being like $2,200 my donation turned into through doublings that were going on to Fisher House. It was all the Patreon money from May that turned into that. And it didn't start out that big at all, but we gave it all over to them. We got another thing we're going to talk about here shortly, but everybody who goes to givebutter.com/FHM/DLP, everything you donate will be doubled up to the first $200 during the show by Floundericious Flounder. You are the man. So folks, please don't forget. It is givebutter.com/FHM/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get your dollars doubled. We have some other things coming on that as well. But let's get into the camp battle. Camp hasn't started, and there's a camp battle already. Again, written by this, you know, you guys may see a connection here with this Lions Wire place. But we have a camp battle.
We don't have a Lions Wire podcast anymore, so this is our unofficial one.
Is the Lions' number two outside cornerback? And let's be honest, Lions Wire is one of the top sites out there for content, Riz. Not just because it's you
and
what you do, but you guys put some really great, balanced content out there. So I have no problem.
That I am someone, I am perpetually trying to be fair and balanced and not in the way that has become a euphemism against Fox News. I am someone who I debated in high school. I loved it. I was brought up to argue both sides of every point and to make sure that you could see what the other person was saying. Try to stand in their shoes and see it. So I will try. You will know how I feel, but I will not tell you how to feel. I'm adamant about that. And that's something that I have tried to stress across all the other wires when we have our little meetings. And I feel that's very important. And I'm going to hurt some feelings that way. But that, you know what? Life's tough.
You've had enough of that shit.
That's right. All right.
Thank you, coach.
All right. So there's a camp battle brewing, and it's one that people haven't talked about. The Lions, number two outside cornerback spot. Right. What's going on, Riz? Amani Arawarie is our guy. We're done. Let's sign it, book it, move on.
If he's your guy isn't very good. Based on I know. Let's look at last year, though. Okay. So first off, I have to say this because the number one comment that came across on both Twitter and Facebook is, why isn't Jeff Okuda the number two? Folks, Jeff Okuda is the number one cornerback on this team. He gets that by default. He gets that by his drafted position. He gets that by the fact that he was injured last year, the fact that he's shown up reinvigorated and healthy this year. He also gets that because if he isn't your number one, oh my God, this secondary is going to be really, really bad.
Yeah.
His potential is still there as the number three overall pick. Was he overdrafted? Maybe. But the potential is absolutely there. He was a phenomenal prospect coming out. So he deserves, as Darius Slay did. Remember when everybody wanted to get rid of Darius Slay after his rookie year? Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when he was benched. I'll never forget seeing Darius Slay benched.
That Arizona game where he didn't switch on a thing and they hung DeAndre Levy out to dry. And that got him put on the bench for a couple weeks. Yeah. Have faith in your cornerbacks. Have faith that Jeff Okuda will get better. One of the reasons why Amani Oruwariye is on the hot seat is because he doesn't tackle well. He led the team and missed tackles. Not only that, he also he doesn't take good angles. One of the things I've been trying to do is get to this film watch, and unfortunately, the area where I do my film study and do the rewatch project was lost in the flood, so I haven't been able to get with it as much as I have been, and between that and all the travel, I just haven't had a chance to do it. But I have watched some. And his angles towards in run support specifically, dude's not good, man. I mean, it's one of those where one of the things that I like to do is that I like to envision it from an outside perspective. And if he was on another team, I would run at that guy nonstop because he doesn't get off blocks well and he dives at feet from too far away all the time. And there is more to cornerback than just playing in coverage where he's kind of hit and miss. I think he's going to be better in coverage this year, but the guy that the Amani Oruwariye that we saw last year, that is not an NFL corner, not even just a number two,
but
that's not an NFL player.
Having heard what we heard from Okuda as to how bad the coaching was at the cornerback position, right?
Yeah.
And he basically called them straight out. How much of that has stunted the growth? I don't think it's broken Amani Oruwariye.
No.
God darn it.
No.
I did it.
Amani Oruwariye.
Amani Oruwariye. I don't think he's broken, but I think there's a lot to fix, right? But I think the guy still has the innate talent, and he has spent years and learned a lot.
Just and he was good. He
can't not, and, right, by being there. He's learned a lot. I think just finding the way to apply what he's learned is where the gap is. And I think good coaching staff could help him do that.
I think one of the things that you're going to see is that the defensive backs are going to play with more confidence in themselves and in their system this year, because that was completely stripped from them in the past. And that will absolutely help. It will help Okuda. It will help Oruwariye. I think having a different secondary coach come in, I think is going to be entirely beneficial for this group. I think they needed some fresh voices in their ears and fresh energy with that.
But what about some of the other options then? Okay.
So the other
I don't want to bang the Oruwariye drum too hard, but you know, right. I'm a fan. So you know, the guys in the Slack are fans, right? We're kind of like,
yes,
the guy.
Yes, I know. I realize I'm peeing on the Cheerios here, but that's what I do.
All right.
Then you put them in the bottom of the toilet. So you make sure your aim's good in the middle of the night. Dad trick right there for you. For those of you who are potty training kids, Greg Warren. Coming up. Your kid's not there yet, but it's coming.
I never thought of that. That's brilliant. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
But what happens when they stand on the kitchen table peeing in their bowl in the morning? Go ahead.
You got to be careful with that. Quentin Dunbar, his last year in Washington was a lot better than Amani Oruwariye has ever been. He is a physical defender. He goes and gets the ball. He played wide receiver at Florida. He actually used to torch T.S. Tabor in their practices once upon a time in Florida. He's got experience. He's got attitude. And I think that's something that I think this coaching staff is going to gravitate towards. This is a guy who is not a pleasant matchup. If you're a wide receiver out there, he's going to let you know what he's going to do to you. And if he makes a play on you, you better believe he's going to let you know that he made a play on you. And that is not something that this defense has had. They had it with Slay and they stifled it.
Yep.
Thank God that's over. This is a tone setting guy, and they need tones. Yes. They need a lot of tones. So I think he's going to get that on the basis of experience. His tackling, he's a very astute tackler, especially for a guy who played offense for most of his life until he got into the NFL. And the big thing with him, he's been hurt. He went to Seattle last year. He sucked. There's no sugarcoating that. Now, he was hurt. He tried to play through a knee injury. He was playing in a new scheme that was different than what he was used to, that asked him to do things that he wasn't necessarily as good at, namely playing off and then still turning and running with people in their Seattle cover three thing. It wasn't a great fit for him. And he didn't have training camp and or preseason games to get his feet wet. So I'm going to write last year off as a bad year for him. Now, he does have injury issues, and that's something that's concerning, but that's why you have Orville Warrior to back him up. But it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. And I don't really think that there's – I mean, you could throw Mike Ford into the equation. I think he and Corn Elder are your slots. And that's another Camp L that one's in the hopper in the drafts at the moment. That'll get published sometime soon if I ever get a free minute. but you're looking at, you know, you're hoping with Oruwariye that he can be close to what he was, at least as a rookie. Because I think as a rookie, we saw, we saw a guy who had potential, who had some, you know, like a very pleasant surprise. And we want that guy back, but you can't count on it. That's why Dunbar's in town. And you're going to see, it wouldn't surprise me, honestly, if they brought in another guy later on. This probably won't be Richard Sherman, but another free agent later in the camp. Or if a wide receiver and or corner that they think can be in their top three gets cut from another team, you better believe they're making a claim on it. That's probably going
to
happen.
Yeah, yeah. And so I want to get on, you said if they had made me think of Iffy. I want to get on to Iffy because I think there's some questions about his ability maybe to do that or play.
So
safety.
Yeah, but so really quick, Iffy,
let me hit those dates just so people know, because that came out today from the NFL, the dates that the roster cuts are coming. So yeah, it's the 17th. It's the day after each preseason week's games are over at 4 p.m. New York time. They cut the first week, it goes down to 85. After preseason week two, it's down to 80. And then after preseason week three, it's down to the final 53.
Yeah, so in it's those staged spaces, again.
Yep, yeah. You're going to see some of those cornerbacks moving around. And that may be the point where we find somebody. And you're going to see some of those Hard Knocks types of guys, those bubble guys, popping out and popping free. And just, you know, when you look at the team we have, you're going to see that at the wide receiver position too. Let's not forget.
Yeah. Don't get married to the bottom of the roster guys, because they're going to get churned more than usual this offseason.
Yeah.
Because you're going to find guys, and look at where we have so many coaches from so many different places. You know, like, they have connections to these people. So you're going to see a lot of that this year, I think. I really do.
For real.
But yeah, so let's get to Iffy.
Yeah.
Iffy is an interesting one, because I don't think they know what he's going to do yet. And I base that on conversations that I had with people that are in the building when I was last there during the mandatory minicamp. They don't know if he's an outside corner or a safety yet either. He wants to play cornerback, and I think they would like to see him play cornerback, but he's not as instinctive as either of the guys that he's competing against as a corner. He is more of a, I got to see it and then react to it.
And that's
a dangerous game to play in the NFL.
The need at safety is so great.
Dude, our safeties are so bad. Yeah. Even if Tracy Walker's good, yeah, and Dean Marlowe is the Dean Marlowe that Buffalo got, not the one that Carolina cut.
And Will Harris has his best year.
Well, we'll save that for another time. I like the idea of him being a positional package player as a rookie. If they go four wide, he can come in and he might be the number two slot guy, because he does have some experience playing in the slot. Yeah, yeah. He can be your heavy nickel outside and you move Okuda inside. I don't think you give him the starting gig right away. I think you spoon feed him packages to where he's comfortable. And if you're asking him to do all sorts of different things,
depending on who you're playing against, sorry, you can Swiss Army with him, right? Depending on the package you're playing against, the ability to move Okuda inside and put him on somebody else is huge.
Yeah,
that's a huge.
And he can do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Now you got to be careful that you don't like do what Arizona did with Isaiah Simmons and completely ruin him last year because he was so versatile. They wound up not playing him anywhere, and he's awful. He was the worst player on their team. For all you Lions fans who wanted him, I told you so, bitches. I'm not going to get over that. I'm not going to let that one go. To go down that road real quick, as a quick aside, I wrote a piece on that for Brownswire about Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, and I'm very worried that the Browns are going to do the same mistake with him, and I elaborated quite extensively on that. So check that out at Brownswire. Thank you. Back to Lions Wire here. I want them to find one thing that Iffy does well, maybe two, and not ask him to do more than that as a rookie. Exploit if he can do things. It, great, but don't demand it. Don't expect it. Let's have him be your number three outside cornerback. Let's have him come in certain packages. Let's have him be a gunner on specialties or do something you know, where you're getting him on the field. Maybe spoon feed him some looks as a third safety. If you're not making him a safety right away, I wouldn't go whole hog. And again, this is a middle round draft pick. If you're relying on middle round draft picks to be impact starters, your team's going to be worse than you think it is. And I think this team's not going to be very good.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Boy, that's a lot. I want to say really quick, question from Don H. I think he's our Jackrabbits fan in the chat. Will Dunbar be an asset in Oruwariye's development?
I don't know about that. I say that because I don't know Quentin Dunbar's personality at all. Some guys embrace that, some guys don't. I don't know that about him. So okay. It's a good question.
All right, let's get on to the next topic here. I told you guys this is a big show. You know, you give us a couple weeks off and it gets crazy. All right. Bubba Baker.
I got things to talk about.
Tearful Bubba. Over his new sack record. 23 sacks in his rookie season, 1978. Now, I know this is old news, but it was before 82, 80? They weren't doing the
1982, sacks were unofficial.
Right. So they went back, not the NFL. It was, I forget who off the top of my head.
It's a research arm done through with the blessing of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Pro Football Reference is who published it, but it's actually done through people who do some work for them, but also work with the Hall of Fame. Yep. They watched every single play of every game going back to the AFL-NFL merger in 1970. And they watched a lot of games before that as well. They just did. I think they said they had like 92% of plays from the 60s, but they can't like confirm it all.
Right.
And they are making the calls themselves on what constituted a sack, who got credit for it, and that sort of thing. But we, Chris, I know you know this. We have heard the Bubba Baker number before, but now it's great to have this verifiably semi-official recognition of how awesome Bubba Baker was.
He was so great, and he deserves this. He, you know, on a team that in those years up until they got Billy Sims, right, was just smoking bad. You know what I mean? They just were not.
This is when I came into Lionsdom. Was the Silver Rush defense in the Billy Sims era?
Yep, Spider-Man Jones.
Bubba Baker.
Another One Bites the Dust. Remember that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. God, I do remember that. That was awesome.
Those were good years.
I'm just so happy for Bubba because if you haven't followed along with what happened with Bubba after he left Detroit, he bounced around a little bit. He wound up in Cleveland. He still lives in Cleveland. He was a very good player for the Browns. He opened a barbecue joint in the western suburbs, and it's amazing. It's called Bubba's Q. It's out in Avon Lake, and I've been there several times. He is there on occasion. He is the nicest freaking guy. He signs autographs for anybody who wants. He will take pictures. He's a very affable guy, and this clearly meant so much to him. When you listen to the pod, he did the Around the NFL podcast, and my God, the emotion.
Yeah,
it's so great to see a good person get rewarded for something that they deserve. Yep. I love it. Yep. I love it.
Yep. And be around to get it. Right. And he's still, what is this? Six.
I think he's 62.
And he's like 6'3", 280 still? Like
I'm 6'5". He's taller than I am. Yeah.
Boy, big guy, still carries himself well at old age.
He does.
Did a lot for the team and still comes around, right? Still comes down for the...
Yeah, he's been at Lions alumni things. He comes to the Thanksgiving game every now and then. Yeah. Yeah, he's just a real real class individual, very easy guy to like. And now that he's got there is a push on to make these records going back to the merger exactly official. Because they have the ability to watch every single play of every game. These are professional statisticians. These are the people who would go back and audit what happens on the NFL now. And when you see that, you know, when you see the half sack turn into a whole sack, these are the guys who make that decision within the NFL and their official statistics. So this isn't just, you know, some college student who got high and decided this was a good idea to go back and check all the sad things trying to kill a summer. You know, they're this is actual like trained professionals doing this. And I really hope that they do the NFL does the right thing and makes this an official record.
I bet next year around the Hall of Fame game and that ceremony, they're going to talk about that. I bet you'll see some of that stuff start coming out because it's a great PR move. And that's about the time that they would do something like that. Right. And with the data there and overwhelming body of credibility to the research, I think that's it's only a matter of time.
So he now also holds, obviously, it's the Lions single season record as well. He has, I believe it's 74.5 total sacks in his five seasons in Detroit, which is a great number. And I'll have to look it up, but that might be the all-time sack leader in Detroit. Let me look that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right. I'm going to move on. You looked that up. You put the point on the end of that. We've got a couple more topics we're going to talk about. But first, I want to say, just really quick, back to Fisher House. You know, this all started, got a note from a guy who was in Iraq in 2017, had some, you know, pretty dark days, as he put it, and said some really, really nice things about how the podcast kind of carried him through his time while he was deployed. And it just, some of the, you know, very personal things really hit home. And we've been kind of trying to find a good second charity for the show and the off, you know, the kind of across the 6 months from the St. Jude stuff we do. And Fisher House is an A-plus platinum charity, top shelf organization that helps veterans when they need, when they go to the VA and they need some procedures done, they need some help, helps the families, gives them a place to stay for free, takes care of them. It is one of the finest. Over 90% of the money donated goes straight back into the house itself, the food, the thing to take the worry of those medical procedures off of those families. It's a really, really great charity. Donated everything from May's Patreon, and it wound up quadrupling into a donation for the for Fisher House. We're working with them right now. We'd love you to go to GiveButter, GiveButter, GiveButter.com/FHM/DLP and do a donation. We really, really appreciate that. If you don't want to do that, we always give folks a way to help out by doing something they want to do anyway. And I just put something together. We released a set of classic kind of retro style Detroit t-shirts. There's some Bob Lowe Island t-shirts. Say nice things about Detroit.
Bob Lowe Island, yeah, baby. Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Some good stuff.
The Ringer tee is lit. I love it. I might get one.
Some really, really good stuff. Got some more stuff coming in this week that we're going to be adding more designs. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. If you get any of those Detroit signs, if you don't forget, any shirt purchased between now and the training camp party on the 31st of July, we'll donate $2 to Fisher House from that shirt sale. All right.
Want my $2?
And just because I'm feeling good right now, I'll double that. We'll make it $4 per shirt out of my pocket. $4 per shirt to Fisher House, because it's a
damn
good charity and deserves our help.
We absolutely believe in Fisher House, and this is something that hit home for both of us. It's just great. Please do what you can for this. It's awesome.
DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. Get over there. And for those that have done this before or worked with us before, all the payment stuff, I did a whole bunch of back end coding, spent like a whole Saturday working on it. We accept regular credit cards now, no more PayPal only. We've got the whole thing going on. It's a really good setup. I'll secure the whole thing. Anyway, DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store. You'll find any of those designs, whether it's the classic Detroit designs, the Detroit Lions podcast stuff, anything you guys get, send it on over, buy that t-shirt, and we will donate $4 for every shirt sold to Fisher House. There you go. All right, move on. We want to talk about, you know, around the North a little bit, around the division.
Yeah.
We'll do a little bit here. Aaron Robinson.
Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson. Why did I say Aaron? Because I've got a different Aaron Rowe on my mind in the NFC North. Allen Robinson.
Maybe.
He has been franchise tagged by the silly Chicago Bears. And that puts him in a great position to really pick up at points of need. This guys are being discarded this season, doesn't it?
We were surprised that he was franchise tagged. I think he was surprised that he was franchise tagged. They have not reached an agreement. The deadline, I believe, is 4 p.m. Thursday, which is tomorrow, right? Yeah.
4 p.m.
So they have a few more hours as we're recording this bit to get this done, but it ain't going to happen, folks. That means a couple things. A, it means that the Bears are now essentially cap strapped with Allen Robinson, because if they can't work out a deal that relieves some of the cap hit for this year, they don't have the ability to go out and pick people up during the season.
Yep.
Now and this is going to be an active trade deadline in the NFL this year. I predict that. I think a lot of people are predicting that you know, you're going to see teams that, like the Lions, that maybe, let's say the Lions are 0-8 going into that time. Just hypothetically, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're winning their opener, by the way. But let's say Trey Flowers isn't fitting in the new defense, and there's another team that could, you know, feel like they put him over the top. They're going to be able to trade for him this year. The Bears are out of that market now. They do not have the cap flexibility to make that happen. The other thing is that Allen Robinson won't be back after this year. It's too punitive to franchise tag him again, and he's not happy about being tagged. He's okay with being in Chicago. From everything that I understand from talking to Bears people, and this is going back to before my travel started, which is like a month ago, he likes the direction that they're going, but he wants to hit the open market. And so this is a – look, he's a very talented receiver. You will not hear me besmirch Allen Robinson. He's never played with a good quarterback in his life. Right. And I think that the fact that he is still so great speaks volumes to him, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have to worry about the number one and number two cornerbacks in Detroit, because they're going against guys like Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. There's a lot of really talented wide receivers in this division.
Six games.
The long game is that Allen Robinson won't be one of them after 2021, but we do have to deal with him in Chicago. So it's something that
I really wanted him to be one of us.
I did too. He's a Detroit guy too, yeah. So I was hopeful that he would get free. He would be a great fit.
He would be
a great fit for Goff, yeah, because he is a guy that can win at all different levels of the defense. He can catch a quick swing pass. Yep. He can run a slant. He can go down the field on the outside.
Also, so many Swift, of the, Hawk, so, Robinson. I mean, Amon-Ra. Right. I mean, I'm just like,
yeah. That would have been nice. Would have been real nice. But the Chicago didn't let that happen. And you know, they're casting a lot with it. The Bears fascinate me this year because I can absolutely entertain the argument that they are going to win the NFC North. I can also see them being really, really close to being in the Lions' land of 4-5 wins.
Yeah. Woo. Well, there you go. Allen Robinson, yeah, putting the tank and the brakes on Chicago's dreams for this year.
Yeah, it really does handicap what they can do throughout the season. And that's not unimportant for Detroit, because not that the Lions would trade with them, although I think this happens all the time, is that people, oh, they'll never trade within the division. You're going to see it happen. You're going to see it. Cleveland and Pittsburgh have traded in recent times. Those teams hate each other.
Yep.
It's going to happen. Well, Minnesota and the Lions traded draft picks, not this year, but a couple years ago.
Yep.
So if the teams want it, it's much less of a stigma for the teams within the NFL than it is amongst the fans. Yep. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All right, last one here. I know there's a lot. We missed 2 weeks. We've got a lot going on in July, getting ready for the season. Fantasy football is coming. Fantasy football is coming. It is there. Head to fantasy.detroitlionspodcast.com. Again, the checkout issues are awesome. Get in there, play against Riz, play against me, play against all of the crews, some of the Slack folks. We've got a beginner, intermediate, and champions league. Top three teams are in the money. And then fourth place, there's shirts available. There's also going to be a pick'em league, all kinds of great stuff. Head over to fantasy.detroitlionspodcast.com. Sign up for the greatest fantasy football show on the world. We have a lot of great time. And as we say every year, this is a fundraiser, so it's a 50-50 split on the pot. This is our biggest fundraiser of the year. So everybody that does this is really supporting the show, but we have a lot of fun with the fantasy.
It is fun.
There's good prizes.
There's a good money. Chance you'll beat me if you're in the league with me, because I really don't care about fantasy football.
I will be tops in the league, and I will be blown out in the first week of the playoffs every time. So there you go. Fantasy.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get in there, get set up, and play against us in fantasy football this year.
Second, third, and fourth round picks will all be on IR by week four, as has happened 2 years in a row.
We have a dynasty league we set up in the Slack, and I wound up with Christian McCaffrey, who was out for a vast majority.
So last year, my first pick was Christian McCaffrey. My second pick was Saquon Barkley, because I wound up looping and trading. Didn't go so well.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just rough, man.
All right. I want to talk a little bit. Good topic here. We've talked a little bit about leadership on the show and a couple different things about how, you know, leadership in the kind of private business world and leadership in the NFL intersect, and how much this team and this front office is really kind of looking at some of the more modern leadership and management styles as kind of their way of going forward. And I want to talk a little bit about purpose-driven organizations and This is something literally it popped across today. I've got a thing going at University of Michigan in the Ross School of Management. I'm doing, and this came across in my thing that I'm working on today, and it was really interesting because it's a contrast. If you think about it, there you talk about in a purpose-driven organization is going from something to something else, and if you look at the Detroit Lions, the from and the to here. I mean, I saw this, I was like, holy cow, this is the Patricia era and the Campbell era. I mean, just lay it out to a T. So I'm going to kind of look at this and I'm going to take it out of corporate speak and try to put it into the podcast and Lions speak. So, you know, you go from, and this is the Patricia era, a self-interest where employers are making conventional assumptions that employees are only self-interested and they're work resistant. They create, you know, the employees don't want to work. You know, they're self-interested. They only want money and they don't the most money.
Yeah, they're motivated for their own interests, not the overall interest of the organization.
Yep. And so what happens is leaders create systems of control, right? And they have all kinds of checks. They have all kinds of reasons to control the behavior and the actions of the staff, which causes those employees to withdraw and resist. And I think that's exactly what we saw from the players in the Patricia era. This massive amount, he was inauthentic. He created controls because he didn't trust himself. He didn't trust the players. He didn't trust what was around him.
So, he didn't know how to lead.
Right. So the way you do that, you create all kinds of controls and you force people to do things. And winds up being this is what we had here last week, to quote a couple of a song in a movie. So
what we've got here is failure to communicate.
So you move on and you look. So what do you're from self-interest and you go to a collective interest. Okay. And this is when an authentic higher purpose permeates the team. Okay. Permeates the strategy and the decision making. All right. The personal good and the collective good become one, and both the players and the staff engage, collaborate, are authentic, and exceed expectations. That's what they're trying to create here. That's what's trying to be built. This servant leadership, this purpose-driven organization, this is literally what the Lions are going to. This is what you're seeing. This is modern management. Now, here's the funniest part about this whole thing, right? I saw this today. Again, U of M, Ross School of Management program I'm in. The guy who did this presentation, he's top shelf. He's got a bunch of books he's written. He's a top shelf mind in this space, okay? His name, you ready for it? Robert Quinn. Now, I just want you guys to know.
Oh, my God, that's unfortunate.
All Bob Quinns aren't necessarily failures.
The mother of all ironies. Holy crow. That's, wow.
I do recommend the books that he puts, Robert Quinn. Good stuff. University of Michigan, like I said, Ross School of Management.
The whole idea of having a, you know, all for one, one for all. Yeah. It's so starkly absent from what we've had in Detroit. Quite honestly, it really devolved into just ugliness, and you know, it was bad, man. I'm excited to see that there is a new strategy in place here that they're getting with, you know, modern. They're not just one of the things that I think Patricia and our Bob Quinn failed to do. To realize was that they were only working on the football level. They didn't seem to see anything outside of that. And I think with what Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and what you're talking about here, and we've seen it with Rod Foote and Shield, they're broadening beyond just football.
Yep.
But football is the central force around which all that revolves. But they're not afraid of those other things anymore. The Patricia Quinn, and this is something that's happened with all the Belichick disciples, they're afraid of everything that isn't football. And they want it out. They want it eliminated. They want it hidden.
Well,
and that doesn't play with NFL players anymore, especially if you're not winning.
If you think about it from a control perspective, right? Dan Campbell, he's a walking meme, right? Let's be honest. He says some funny things. I think he's a lot smarter than people give him credit for. But
yes, he
says a lot of funny things. But he nailed it with the "I'm not carrying toilet paper for you" comment. I'm not here to wipe anybody's butt. I'm not going to do that. Before, you're not using any toilet paper unless it's the one that I'm carrying.
Right.
Right.
I'm giving you your four squares. Yep. Don't waste it.
Yes, exactly. And you will fold them and use them exactly like I say. Right.
Yes.
And It's absolutely a significant difference in how these two regimes work. From it, again, I think we're going to see it on the field as well. You think about the old Patricia offense and defense. You were awesome if you were competing in 1985 with the setup that they were trying to put in place, right? Jelani Tavai, very similar numbers to as far as draft numbers and size and speed as to LT, but that doesn't fly in 2020, 2019, 2021.
Probably don't want to play him inside.
Right. The management style, 1985, maybe 1955, right? Crazy, crazy different way of doing things. We're moving to a more modern management style, I'm assuming.
I like it. I embrace it. I'm trying to get more well-read on these concepts outside of football myself, and that's something that I have an appreciation in the fact that this organization isn't repelling those ideas anymore.
Yeah.
It makes me very happy.
And I'll tell you, this is something to keep an eye on, because we talked about this. You know, we were wrong about Fox last year. The idea of the wide receivers, where we said, hey, it's possible that we're wrong on there, and we kind of said, haha, yeah, right. Be alert, because the thing that wins in the NFL today is something that's different. And the Hockenson-Swift attack, using them to attack linebackers instead of trying to attack corners, could put a whole different spin on the offense, and it could be a new wrinkle in the NFL that people have to account for and that could take a lot of people by surprise. Every year there's a team that puts a wrinkle out there. It usually lasts for a year or so, but that's what we need. We really need to buy ourselves a year of success. If we could find that wrinkle that works for us, we could be that team this year and see some significant success out of that. So don't write it off. I don't expect it, but don't write it off. This is a place where I think people are thinking differently and they're thinking innovatively, and I think they're doing it as a group, and all of those minds together are going to be brighter than Matt Patricia's mind alone. Even contrary, the contrarian thing I love to say is none of us is as dumb as all of us. That is absolutely true in the Patricia regime. I think it's a lot different.
None of us. Say that again. None of us is as dumb as all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where that applies. Yeah. Oh, boy.
There you go. All right.
Come back for philosophy tomorrow with more philosophy with Chris.
All right, a lot of stuff we hit today. Thank you guys for being patient while we're off.
Thanks for riding through with this, because it's been, you know, we wanted to do a show. My life has been absolute chaos. I appreciate everybody who has asked about me and the Patreon and on Twitter and reached out. I'm doing fine. I'm frazzled, but I'm okay. And Team Risen is moving on and moving forward. And thank you all for the kind words of support. We do appreciate it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'm glad to see things are coming together for you. Don't forget the party.detroitlionspodcast.com. Don't forget fantasy.detroitlionspodcast.com. Don't forget about Fisher House, givebutter.com/FHM/DLP. And also, any shirts you buy, $4, go to Fisher House for every shirt sold. Got some great new designs over there. Check those out. And that's at detroitlionspodcast.com/store. All right, that's going to do it this week. Riz, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. Don't forget to spot us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Get access to the Slack. Hang out with Riz and Chris all the time. Every day we're in there chatting with folks. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, and at Jeff Risden.
No pants. It's National Nudist Day. Uh-oh. I'm honoring it with the bottoms.
That's the area I live in. No, Riz ain't leaving. Riz ain't going nowhere. Don't worry. Riz.
No,
we've got him chained.
I'm here.
He'll be at the party too with Dan Miller.
I will be at the party. I don't miss parties.
No. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and subscribe to the podcast. Why, Riz? What happened?
So we can come into your ear holes automatically.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no wide receivers, no problems, baby, because we're Detroit Lions and Reddit Connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.